Welcome aboard. Show right here, 720 WGN. All right, our friend Kristen McQuarrie is joining us right now, right off the top. Chicago Tribune editorial page editor, and we wanted to get to this yesterday when you guys published this, which is a really interesting editorial on behalf of the Chicago Tribune, the esteemed Chicago Tribune. It's 650 years old, I believe, Kristen, if I'm not mistaken. Licensing cops is not the answer to police misconduct is the position of your editorial board. And we had Kwame Raoul on last week talking about this, the attorney general of the state of Illinois. And he thought that, there's some positives to this. You have Lori Lightfoot wanting to go down this road, making the argument that if manicurists and hairdressers have to be licensed, why shouldn't police officers be licensed? But the editorial board disagrees. Why?
Well, for one, we would probably argue that hairdressers and nail salon people shouldn't have to be licensed either. It's kind of a revenue generator for the state of Illinois, which actually is always about 6 months behind in getting those licenses processed anyway. The issue with police is that licensing is sort of a way that we think the state is trying to get around what is in the FOP contract. If you need to deal with rogue officers who have a lot of complaints against them, which is one of the things that they think licensing will fix, then you need to make changes in the contract that the mayor is about to negotiate with police unions to make sure that they don't get protections that average citizens don't get when they get into trouble. The other thing is, if the issue is police officers resigning under investigation in one department and then getting hired at another department, they think that a licensing requirement will catch that. But we say, I mean, departments should be doing a better job vetting their employees when hiring them. It just seems like a big issue. I mean, putting a huge new bureaucracy on Illinois state government to process probably, 50 or 60,000 police officers getting licensed annually, paying a fee and going through some sort of process that is unnecessary because you already have ways to fix this problem of officers who have lots of complaints against them.
But the issue that is raised, and Kwame Raoul, I asked him exactly that last week, and he said, well, but they're not, though, and that system doesn't really work as well as it should. And now, is it the Attorney General's job, the Office of the Attorney General's Office of Illinois? Is it their job? Is it the local police departments? I mean, if somebody's coming off the job at Chicago and then they end up, you know, leaving for whatever reason, for reasons that they get kicked off, and they get picked up in Harvey or some of the smaller, more troubled police departments throughout the Chicago area. Phoenix, I don't even know that they still have a police department in the town of Phoenix, Illinois, but you know, those that's where there has kind of been a repository historically, and that in no way, the licensing wouldn't in any way help that, you don't think?
I really don't. I just think it's kind of a, because of what happened with George Floyd, everything that everyone has ever wanted to do to hold police accountable is sort of being thrown into the bucket. And licensing of police has been talked about in the past. But really, it's kind of a pass-through at the state of Illinois, which traditionally is not on top of these issues anyway. So I would say even in those cases of officers then getting hired at departments that maybe don't have the resources to do these big vetting right. Institutions, you still already have websites and collection of data of police officers and their conduct. You can Google it. If you have a police officer who's your neighbor and you would like to know in Chicago how many complaints have been filed against them, you can find that kind of stuff online.
In the city of Chicago, but not necessarily for suburban police.
I think there are actually some, as this story has just snowballed, not just in recent months, but over the years, there are different ways to vet officers. And again, do you put in place a system that's going to then drag 50 or 60,000 officers through a licensing process to catch one or two who slip through the cracks? It doesn't really seem to make much sense to us. And we think, once again, these Democratic political leaders need to take on their organized labor and their contracts. It's not just FOP. You have a lot of, in teacher union contracts, they get a lot of extra special protections when they're accused of wrongdoing. They need to get a spine and actually negotiate a tough contract if they want to get at the problem of officer misconduct.
For misconduct. Okay. Specifically for misconduct is what you're saying, is that there are too many loopholes and too many protections set in. But they would argue, the unions would counter-argue there, and the unions would counter-argue that there is creative dismissal, and you know, there are bosses who are not necessarily fair to their employees. And so who protects them, especially when they're in sensitive positions like that?
We're all in sensitive positions. We are all subject to scrutiny no matter what our job is. And I don't think anyone is saying do away with due process for police officers who are accused of wrongdoing. But you can't, with a clear head, look at some of the contract protections. Whistleblowers have to be identified. Police officers have a chance to review video of an incident and then change the report that they initially thought they saw. They get to sit and wait if they get pulled over for, you know, potentially drinking and driving, and sober up for a few hours. I mean, the things that are written into the contract have just continually been built on and built on over the years. Nothing ever gets removed from a contract. So you have to imagine that after all the years, it's overly protective of officers. And good officers know this. They know this, and they know that the mayor and mayors in cities around Illinois and around the country who negotiate these contracts need to get tougher and more realistic about what they put in them.
All right. Kristen, can you hold on for me for 1 second? I want to take a quick break and come back. Kristen McQuarrie, Chicago Tribune editorial page editor. There were two editorials yesterday. One was this, which was the case against licensing of police. But then there's another one, a little more recreational than that. We'll pick that up on the other side about the city reopening. How does it reopen across the board here? We'll get to Kristen on that. But first, let's check in with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roads?
There's Chicago and the Rail Watch. Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten. Get real in the morning with the WGN-TV morning news team weekdays 4 to 10. I don't know what I said there.
The team. A teenager?
Team what, time,
what,
I don't know.
What the hell was it? Speaking of teen time, it's Tuesdays with Tom, just because it's an alliteration, and Tom Skilling is going to join us up to the bottom of the hour news. Kristen McQuarrie is with us from the Chicago Tribune. She is the editorial page editor. We were just talking about, before we leave the idea of licensing police, which the Tribune editorial board came out against yesterday, before we leave that, I want to get to something that's a little bit more recreational here. But the idea here of licensing police is just one, as you mentioned, on the table of many things that activists are looking for. Are there positions that you at the editorial board have been taking in terms of, you know, your debates about this, that you think you may be editorializing on that could be improvements to the way that the Chicago Police Department and the community at large get along?
Yes. I mean, we were completely in support of the consent decree. We have been in support of revamping of COPA and all these organizations that oversee police. We believe the union contract needs to be much more closely examined, and you're going to see a few editorials in the coming weeks with specific recommendations of how that needs to be done. I mean, there's no question we've had a problem with policing in the city that favors police, and we have repeatedly come out on the side of reform, consent decree, better training, certainly not defunding, but we do support reforming the way that police officers are trained and the need to de-escalate situations.
Yeah. The defunding movement, the entire thing, is absolutely anathema, I think, to most people. When you hear that, you're like, whoa, wait, how would you defund a police department? And I don't know who decided that defund was going to be the word that they were going to use. There had to be some committee of beret-wearing people who decided that that was a good idea. And it's not. I almost feel as though that's one way of stopping the conversation before it begins, by calling it defunding. There should be other ways by which we try to tackle this issue. This issue has been around for a very long time. Violence in Chicago, and I'm just talking about Chicago here. The whole way that we look at the United States is a little different, because Chicago is an outlier. I mean, you look at the other major cities, and per capita, the number of murders and the number of violent crimes and shootings, I mean, it's crazy, the comparison to New York. It's night and day how much safer New York is than Chicago. But even Los Angeles, which has been a plagued city by whether it's bad relationships between the community and the police or other kinds of gang issues, right? I mean, it's crazy here. And I think that there needs to be an addressing of that issue, but it needs to be had by Chicagoans for Chicagoans, because it's a different situation here. And that's where I think what your voice at the Tribune is really important there.
Well, thank you. We agree that we cannot be thrown into the conversations in Minnesota or Nashville or Los Angeles or anywhere. We have a huge violent crime problem. This is not the time to defund police, but it is probably a time to, if the issue is budgeting and reexamining where resources are spent, that is certainly a conversation that we have on the editorial board all the time. The city spends hundreds of millions of dollars on community outreach programs, Department of Family Services programs, social service programs, homeless programs, affordable housing, you name it, we are already shoveling tons of money into a lot of those programs. Why aren't they working? If it's more money, we continually spend every year more in the city budget considerably. What we're doing isn't working across the board in terms of where the city spends its money. So that is certainly a conversation that should be had.
You know, we're going to talk later on in the program after the 5:30 news with the alderman, Carlos Ramirez Rosa, has been on the show a couple of times. We almost, it's like fight night when the two of us get on together. And he and a number of other aldermen, he says as many as 10 maybe out of the 50 would like police out of the schools. Now, I have a lot to say about that. I think that doesn't really solve any kind of a problem here. And when you look at the national issues with schools, it's almost completely counterintuitive.
I think the alderman, the idea of removing police from schools is fueled by a lot of those videos we've seen of police completely overreacting and arresting kids and all that, and I understand. But this needs to be a conversation where parents are involved, too. I have friends who are parents, who are teachers, who want the presence of an officer in school. I mean, a lot of these schools have metal detectors when you walk in the door. These are kids who they make dumb decisions, and some of them show up to school with weapons. We've had mass shootings across the country at schools. So this cannot be something that the city council jumps on tomorrow and decides that they're going to end this contract with CPD. It doesn't make sense to make such a rash decision like right. that.
Let's not overreact. I mean, listen, there's a lot of reaction that needs to happen here. The video of George Floyd specifically is heartbreaking, and it certainly does point to an issue that is so much a part of the African-American experience in America, and it's a generational thing, and it has not changed. And there is a sense of, if you are going to be encountering police or police encounter you, that it is as dangerous as having a bad guy in the neighborhood encountering you, right? And that's the way that a lot of African-Americans look at it. And that needs to be, that's about this issue of trust, and that's about this issue of also behavior between the two, between the police officer and between the civilian, that a way of communicating that needs to be instilled and taught on both sides of that equation. There has to be an understanding there. And it's hard to, you know, teach all civilians. You certainly can teach police officers how to de-conflict, but I think we also need to, maybe even in the schools, it's important. I know a lot of families do, that, you know, teach their kids. They don't want them to end up in a situation where there's a misunderstanding and it's shoot first and ask questions later, because that does happen in the main, twice as much statistically, almost three times as much statistically to African Americans than it does to non-African Americans in this country. And that's a real issue. It does need to be addressed. Okay. I'm off my soapbox for a second here, and I need your help here, Krista McQuarrie from the Tribune editorial. This finally, now the lakefronts are going to open here, right?
Yeah.
Now, it's still a little late. I really don't understand this. It seems like, you know, we get 100 decent days of weather a year in this town, and please, let's just face this. This closing down of the lakefront, this started before the COVID-19 thing was really, that was the first thing to close, was the lakefront, and it's because Lori Lightfoot saw a bunch of kids congregating at North Avenue Beach, right? Mm-hmm. Kids coming from all over the city to congregate, and I understand, but kids congregate every year at North Avenue Beach from all over the city. And there are policing issues in that, and there are public safety issues in that. And it seems to me that this is more, her holding back on the lakefront is more about that than it is about people who are biking or jogging or you want to go swimming.
Oh, you're so cynical, Ro. That sounds like something we would write on the editorial page. No, I agree. I think initially when she closed down the Lakefront Path and the 606, there was still a lot of confusion about how COVID was spread. And so there was this very worrisome concern. We were staring down New York City that even passing someone on a bike path or a cough or a sneeze could spread the disease. But now, several months into it, there just isn't enough scientific evidence to show that outdoor activity, when you're social distancing or when you're wearing a mask or when you're exercising, does anything to escalate cases of COVID. So I think she's up against the stats, but then she put this in place, and it's almost been like this little, she's just been waiting for a day to throw us a bone, when we have reminded her several times on the editorial page, this is public property. It belongs to us.
Right.
That is our property. And so it can't just be used as like, oh, please, please, Mayor, can we have the lakefront? It belongs to the people. And so, yes, she is now finally lifting some of the restrictions. And as long as you're moving, you can use the path, but you still can't use the beaches. And playgrounds in the parks are still locked and bolted.
Right. Right. I've noticed that. She is really the no fun mayor right now. I'm going to be honest with you. And I know that that's her thing. And, you know, she loved those memes when they came out. But now those memes are kind of, you know, I thought they were very funny. And I'm one who believes that the way that J.B. Pritzker and that Lori Lightfoot were, their initial moves here to shut things down were very helpful in the long run in terms of how Illinois has been able to flatten the curve. And now we're at one of the lowest rates of positivity in the entire nation. That is all great. Now, will that stay as we open up? Probably not. But it's at least we hope that we have dampened it to a point where we're not going to have spikes like some other states are having. And when you do that, it by the way, there's a lot of people want to play with those statistics, and these states are saying, well, it's because of more testing. No, a positivity rate is not a function of how much more testing it is. The positivity rate has to do with a percentage of people who are testing positive who have been tested. So it's a static number. So I don't even want to start with them on that. But anyway, so I liked how they did what they did, and I thought they were doing pretty well. But as things are opening up, and let's not make this political. I heard in our news we played a clip from a state representative who was like, you know, this is about, you know, they're trying to make this all about politics and Democrats, and they want to keep business down. And I don't think that's really the case in either of their functions, but they also don't want to, you know, be the ones responsible for a mass resurgence of a pandemic. I just hope that there is somehow a balance in all of that.
There has to be a balance, and we have to know that we have to live with this, that we can't be waiting around for a vaccine, which is at one point what Governor Pritzker was saying. And we have to learn to live with COVID, and that's what we're facing.
Yeah. And there may be a vaccine coming quicker than we thought. We've talked, they're doing the phase 3 testing here in Chicago at University of Illinois Chicago for this vaccine, this RNA vaccine. So we're very, very hopeful. And the doctor we talked to is doing is very, very hopeful that maybe we're going to be somewhere by the end of this year, maybe the beginning of next. All right. Now, and one more thing, and I know I got to run here for the news, but I also support the idea of closing down streets for restaurants, even once we're past this, creating like festival zones, if you will, because we close down streets for anything around this town, anything. There could be a street festival that celebrates the apple that is red versus the apple that is yellow, and we will do it in this town. We might as well do it for businesses to make sure that they are allowed to try to recover as best they can.
Hear, hear. I would love that. Yeah.
All right. Get me on that board. I'll go to battle. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Christopher
Curry
from the Chicago Tribune. Thank you. We've got the news right now. Here is Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.